donations, and help Habitat for Humanity. For more, please visit KenoshaUnitedWay.org.
This is WGTD HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. You're listening to Community Matters, a program that highlights various local issues and organizations. It's co-hosted by Len Iaquinta, a nonprofit manager, fundraiser, and consultant, WGTD Walworth County correspondent Jim McClure, and by Marlo Harmon, a lifelong Racine resident who's currently employed as an addiction counselor at Racine Correctional Institution. And now, here's today's host.
Good morning, listeners, and welcome to 91.1 FM, WGTD. This is Marlo Harmon, your host for today's Community Matters segment, where we discuss important issues that are relevant to you. This year, we've seen some significant cuts in Wisconsin's budget for education, and for the most part, funding for K-12 public schools next year will not increase. I believe that many would agree that a quality education is essential to our society and to our children. So how can we build the educational foundation of our children while still being fiscally responsible? There may not be an easy solution, but at least we're going to talk about it today. And today's guest is Ms. Naomi Baden, who is the Executive Director of Racine Educational Association. Welcome, Ms. Baden.
Thank you.
Now, you are pretty new in your current position, and actually I read that you're the first female in this position. So what is your role, and kind of tell me what are some of your duties in this?
Sure. Well, I'm the executive director of what is actually called the Racine Education UNISERVE Council, which is kind of an umbrella organization which represents and works with and supports the two local unions that are the educators in Racine Unified School District. So we include among our members not only all the certified teachers, but also educational assistants. And so really all of the professional educators, whether paraeducators or teachers, are involved in our union. So my duties as executive director are pretty broad ranging. It's the history of local unions that are representing teachers that are part of the National Education Association is that executive directors are really like the chief spokespeople and very, very involved in all aspects of the work of the union. Okay. In many cases, the elected officers are not out of the classroom, so they're working full-time in the schools, and the need for professional staffing is very high within the union itself. Yes. And so now this particular union has a very strong commitment to member-driven leadership and member-driven program.
Okay.
But nonetheless, as an executive director, I coordinate all of our programs. I supervise the staff. I often am the spokesperson, so I often speak with the press and issue our press releases, do a lot of our communications work. I'm a lawyer by training, so I'm involved in the representation work of members, and I don't do the hands-on grievances work. That's left to our Director of Member Services and Representation. But I do a lot of coordinating, a lot of community outreach, and pretty much day in and day out strategy.
Wow, it seems like your duties have you juggling a lot of things.
True.
And I can understand how your background and experience as a lawyer will definitely help this year.
Mm-hmm.
Because it seems like since April of this year, there has been a contentious relationship not only with school board members, but with the school board itself, Racine Unified School Board members, and with the unions. What is going on that is causing that divide, and how can we bring it together? It seems like some key issues have been the changing of the handbook, board members being appointed, and the staff salary increases. How can we get the discussion going so that we can move forward? Because it really seems like there's a stalemate going on and not too much is being done.
No, you're right. I want to come back to this the lawyer question for a minute because I often describe myself as a recovering lawyer.
Okay.
And in this case, in the case of Racine Unified and so many of the districts around the state, the lawyers are a big part of the problem. Okay. There are some lawyers who are advising this school district and this superintendent who have no business doing that, as far as I'm concerned. They are folks who are really actively supporting the approach that Act 10 brought into place. It is a anti-worker, anti-teacher, and certainly anti-union approach to doing any problem-solving in a school district. And as a result, there's been a concerted effort to really try and break the back of the collective and collaborative problem-solving that this union has been trying to do. So that's just a kind of a background around what's caused the stalemate. I think the fundamental reason for the stalemate is not what's happening in Racine, but what's happening all over Wisconsin around public education, and even more so what's happening across the country around public education. There is a drive. There's no other way to put it other than to say it's a reactionary and right-wing drive to privatize public education. And Wisconsin is ground zero in many ways for this drive. It's coming out of some of the largest corporate sponsors, the Koch brothers, the Walton Foundation, Bradley Foundation here in Wisconsin. There are organizations, and of course Citizens United didn't help in this regard, there are organizations that are trying to create a system of governance throughout the state that favors privatized schooling. And with that comes, it's an abandonment of the fundamental notion of public education as a cornerstone of democracy.
Okay.
I just would go on to say that because of that, what is playing out in Racine is a part of that broader movement and that broader fight. And we can get into lots of the specifics. The particular issues are all example. The particular conflicts we're having in Racine are all perfect examples of that problem, that larger structural conflict in our society today.
And some of that may be true. There is the issue with regards to how do we meet the needs of our kids and continue to decrease the achievement gap among our children. And if what you are saying is true, that there's an effort to privatize or to take away some of the rights of union members through the Act 10, piece that is going on, Act 10 is here, and it seems like Act 10 is here to stay. And to argue the point that it may not be fair or balanced, I think is a mute point at this time, because it is here. And what is going on in Racine Unified School District with the current superintendent has shown some progress. I have seen where many of our statistics and data that has been issued is showing that there is some significant increases in graduation rates, some significant increases in decreasing the achievement gap between children of color and non-minority children. So if that is the case, that we are seeing some improvements under the current position that is in place, I would think that it would be kind of wise to continue down that road and down that direction if it is showing some progress and is showing that we are educating our children. What is the fight?
Well, actually, you raise you speak as if the superintendent were sitting there. It is highly questionable whether we are improving the way we are educating our children. Now, that doesn't mean those statistics are not showing some growth and some improvement. But first of all of the good news is coming from the era before this current superintendent. The work on graduation rates, you'll notice that the most recent data is from the 13-14 school year. And so the growth happened in the 5 years up to the 13-14 school year. And that was the year which culminated with those results. Well, we should have more interesting statistics than that by now, more relevant and current, but we don't. But even if you look at the graduation rate is probably the one most startling and good example of something changing in Racine Unified Schools, but not as a result of the superintendent or her policies. On the question of closing the achievement gap between children of color and their white counterparts, there's very little progress made at all. And in terms of the measures used to measure the closing of the achievement gap, they're bogus. They're faulty measures. They're measures that repeatedly have been shown to be based on the wrong kind of criteria. So if you really look at things like suspension rates, expulsion rates, dropouts, the inability to get productive work once outside, the issues of drug abuse, the rate of poverty in the school system, in the communities around the school system itself, nothing has changed there. There's lots of efforts and certainly some interesting programs amidst these various programs. But as long as we're looking at test scores as the way to determine that tremendous growth has been made, we're not looking at the real thing. We're not looking at whether teaching and learning is happening. We're looking at whether somebody's standard, usually culturally biased, and we already have more than enough data that says that socioeconomic status is the controlling factor for how kids do on these standardized tests. There's no improvement there. The gap is not decreasing in Racine Unified. The fundamental problem is poverty and racism, or problems. Okay. And those can only be addressed in a school system where everyone is rowing in the same direction. This is not a school system where everyone is rowing in the same direction. And while, you know, there's probably a bit too much superintendent bashing, it's not all her fault. It's not all her problem. She does bring a certain perspective that is not helpful right now. The Board of Ed is also in a quandary. It's in a mess. And there are a lot of reasons for that. But some of those reasons have to go back to this fundamental national and state struggle over what kind of education we want for our kids.
And with individuals having the same goal, all of them, everyone, whether it's teachers, whether it's parents, whether it's school administrators, all are saying that education is something that everyone has their hand in to increase, to better, to improve. How can this be improved when there are people, like you say, bashing the key person that is trying to lead in a way that is beneficial? Let's talk a little bit about the handbook. The handbook issue that is going on as of recently is there's a clause in the handbook that the Racine Unified School District board members are trying to change so that there's not such a bottleneck impact on getting decisions made, getting decisions improved that are going to overall better everyone.
There's no bottleneck.
No bottleneck?
There hasn't been a bottleneck ever in the history, certainly not since the handbook was created. The handbook was created using a collaborative problem-solving process, using what is known in the labor and public interest field as an interest-based problem-solving process, so that all parties put forward their interests and needs, and then they came to find solutions that would work best for all. It was a highly collaborative environment, and there was a facilitator in place. This was 3 years ago when, after the union contract expired, and the first time that the union and the district had to negotiate the handbook, the creation of the handbook. Mm-hmm. That handbook was put together with a collaborative process.
That is
true.
The
language in the handbook itself it mandates a collaborative process, a continuing collaborative process. Last year and the year before, that handbook was ratified with minor changes from the very first time, mm-hmm. and tremendous consensus that it move forward and it stay in place. Same thing with salary negotiations. There was agreement within 15 minutes on the exchange of proposals for salary negotiations, all of which were done in a collaborative manner. And it's the difference this year is that there's no longer collaboration.
That is true what you say with regards to how it came about. There was a collaborative effort that put the piece in the handbook that talked about individuals coming together so that they can discuss how to move forward on key issues. However, the process for that takes several steps before it can actually be finalized. And in that process, in those steps that come about, there's still another piece in it that if something isn't agreed upon, there's another step that could be added. And through those various steps, it slows down the process, let's say.
Well, one could always say that about, you know, there's a phrase, and in, particularly in education, go slow to go fast. And it's the notion of it is very important to get it right, most important to involve stakeholders meaningfully, to have full participation in the work that is before us, whatever that might be. And that process worked itself through in the last 2 years. It's not just the process of getting the handbook language in place in the first time. It's also about the renewal of the handbook. It worked beautifully. And there's nothing to say it would not work this time. The only bottleneck that's been created has been the bottleneck created by the superintendent and her labor management relations people.
Okay. All right, I'm going to play devil's advocate then.
Please.
Because just yesterday, there was a meeting among the Racine Unified School District board members, and that meeting wasn't able to complete or finalize because two pro-union school board members, I believe that they support and advocate for unions. They walked out of the meeting early.
And do we know why that happened?
We don't know it happened. However, that is one way in which, that's an example of how things create a bottleneck.
But that bottleneck
where
is politics.
Can't be done.
Right. It's not the handbook process that creates a bottleneck. It's the politics that create a bottleneck. And those politics were created by a man named Scott Walker, by the Koch brothers, by Robin Voss, who happens to be the Racine area, the Racine County state, is it a speaker, assemblyman.
Okay.
These folks have decided that it is open season on not just the unions, but on teachers and on all public employees. And that what that means is that you smash all of the representatives of public sector workers in whatever way you have to. And as a result, they have instructed their minions, and those minions include the lawyers who have been working with them all the way along and the superintendents in some of these districts, to do what they have to do to continue to keep the unions out of the meaningful discussions. And the meaningful discussions the union wants to be involved with are not just salary. They're not just working conditions. Because this union at this moment in time believes strongly that working conditions equal teaching and learning conditions. And what our union wants to talk about are the principles that drive a different kind of a school system, a system that's focused on protection and preservation of public education for all, a union that's focused and a district that's focused on funding real ways to deal with the poverty issues that present themselves every day for every teacher, the finding ways to come to grips with making an equitable school system. And every time we raise those issues with the school district, we're pushed back and told there are other ways and other times and other places to talk about that. Right now, we don't want to talk about those kinds of things. And so we're faced with a blockade, literally. I mean, that in every step of the way, this district has pushed the union away from discussions about meaningful, significant aspects of what it means to run a school district. The salary stuff is a small piece of the broader agenda that the union wants to move on.
It may be a small piece, but with a budget that the state has pretty much flatlined with regards to any money for this year, how can union members seek salary increases when the budget is not increasing?
Well,
that's what's been going on with RUSD as of late. Mm-hmm. The yesterday's meeting, what the elephant in the room was the salary piece of it, the wages, and board members supporting wage increases when there's a budget that isn't increasing. How can we work together, teachers, administrators, and parents and students, so that we can move forward without walking out of the room?
First of all, the budget is increasing, and that is a myth that there's no increase in the budget. Walker's budget had no increases. Just as we know, over the last 3 or 4 years, since Act 10, Walker's budget has devastated public education. His proposed state budget, and in the first few years, his approved and adopted by the legislature budget, devastated public education. When in the year after Act 10 was passed, Walker took away $500 per student in funding, in pupil funding. In this year that we're working on right now, the state budget that just got passed, he was proposing yet another cut. But happily, even the Republican legislature has decided to reinstate so that it's now back to zero. It's at a neutral place. But there are aspects to the state budget that Governor Walker proposed that have been reinstated so that there is, in fact, more funding coming. Now, it's not enormous. It's not nearly enough. We're still operating in an austerity world. But even in the worst of times, there are choices and priorities that a system has to make about what it funds. If we saw and were actually certain that the kinds of funding choices that the district was making were really going to the classroom and to closing the achievement gap and to helping teachers do that, we wouldn't probably even be asking for raises. But the basic fundamental challenge of being a working person in this country, of trying to keep up with the cost of living, of trying to keep up with enormous increases in their cost of medical insurance, of health insurance. One of the other consequences of Walker's Act 10 was a major cutback in the health insurance benefits, and in order to sustain any benefits, to keep any benefits, the cost shifting has gone on to the employees, such that what used to be maybe a $500 deductible at most for a family for a year is now $4,000 as a deductible. You have to pay $4,000 out of your own pocket. Now, that's a cut in your salary. And with fairly low cost of living, the CPI being at 1.62%, teachers are losing ground, just like all other public employees are losing ground. And certainly in a place like Racine and Kenosha, for that matter, the economy is still in such bad shape. There is so much unemployment. There's such a struggle. RUSD is one of the few largest employers in Racine. So to suggest that there shouldn't be any kind of wage increase at a time when costs are increasing for employees doesn't make sense.
Okay. Again, I would like to remind our listeners that you are here today with me, Marlo Harmon, your host for today's Community Matters, 91.1 FM, WGTD. And our guest for today is Naomi Baden, who is the Executive Director of Racine Educational Association. Ms. Baden, so a couple of other things that are going on. It looks like there has been some expansion of the voucher, private school voucher program that has become pretty exciting news as of late. Individuals, there are students that are able to select whether or not they want to be a part of the public school system or private school system, they get to select their educational needs. Parents get to provide the education that they think best fits the need of their children, and the state is assisting with this payment and this financial help for this. That has to be great. That has to be great news.
No, it's not in the least bit great news. It's the only thing.
Parents
exciting.
Not being able to select the educational value of their children.
Right. It's not about. Good. It's. I wish it were parents being able to select the educational value of their children. What it is a further degradation of the whole concept of education. The voucher system is a system of failed privatizing, for-profit, in many cases, efforts to make money for corporations of one kind or another. In some cases, nonprofit voucher-funded programs are really trying to do their best for kids in a way that they feel somehow that public schools are not doing. But the concept of public education is that as a society, we, the taxpayers and the citizens, fund and support and encourage and require, really, that our public schools provide universal, free, accessible, integrated education for all kids. And what vouchers do is cut into that. That's at the core of privatization. That's the fight. It's not privatization because the parents should have choice. If it were, and actually it was supposedly started in Wisconsin because of for poor children of color and poor families of color so that they could have a choice because they weren't getting the quality of education in their public schools that they should be getting.
Exactly.
However,
how can that
let's
not
look
be
at
good?
Let's look at who's using vouchers. In Racine, you can have 300% the poverty level of income. As a family, you can have already had your kid, for instance, in a parochial school, and yet now Walker and Voss have decided that they will be paying for your private parochial school education. All the research is showing that the voucher schools are not doing any better. In fact, in many cases, they're disasters. They've been closed in some places. That they have, they exclude children, particularly children of color with special needs. They're completely exclusionary. They are the opposite of what was supposedly intended. And for many parents, some of whom have no clue what's in the public school system or what they're getting, they hear the promises of these hucksters, and they end up putting their kids in horrible learning environments that are not meeting their needs.
Well, if that is true, and considering that, then that also says something about the public school system. If parents are really going in a direction to pull children out of the public school system, and that is significant. There has been a steady migration of kids out of the public school system. Competition is good. And if parents are saying that I'm not appreciating the services that I am getting somewhere, I'm going to look somewhere else, that either strengthens the teacher's drive to improve that, or administrators, all of them hopefully, so that you encourage parents to come back. That may just not be a bad idea.
Well, competition is good if you believe that, you know, the private sector and looking at schools as companies and corporations and private enterprises is good. But the concept of competition in a public service, in a core public service, doesn't make any sense. Why would we want to be competing with and forcing more stress and pressure on the public schools in a way that it doesn't make people better? It makes them stressed and miserable and incapable of doing what they need to be doing because the demands upon them are so high. And in fact, It's only the fact that there's money being offered to pay for it that's causing it people to leave the public schools, and they're going into an unknown. It's not like they're going into a situation where they know there's going to be quality education. In fact, there's been lots and lots of research that shows that these vouchers are not providing a quality education. Furthermore, the good news in Racine is that we have started to see a drop in what they call open enrollment, which is the going to other public schools outside of the Racine district, but also an increase in student enrollment for the first time in many years. Mm-hmm. And so that means parents are starting to come around that Racine itself has tried, the district has tried to compete with what's out there among the choices, and as a result, they have managed to persuade some 400 parents who were otherwise not going to send their kids to the Racine Unified District that they should come into the public schools. And that's because of the hard work of teachers day in and day out. That's because of the hard work of principals. It's because of the educational assistants. It's because of everybody who's pulling to try and provide the best possible public education for our kids. And that's public education, it's a cornerstone of our democracy. So to replace it or to encourage competition because companies and profit-making entities think that's a good thing, they're not the democracy. They're companies and private corporations. The democracy are people voting to create a society that has public institutions, healthcare, et cetera.
Well, you have your job cut out for you.
I certainly do.
What fresh ideas, what new approaches do you plan to bring to your current position so that we can see some positive changes?
Well, the union as a whole has been transforming itself for the last few years, and
yes.
I've been happy to help in that process. So my position less so than the entire approach of the union. The most significant piece of that is its commitment to work closely with the community on moving forward to create community schools, and our commitment to in alliance with every other community group that is interested in the same thing, to have a series of principles that unite us together. There's a national organization that we are a part of called the National Alliance to Reclaim Our Schools. Mm-hmm. And there are a series of principles that it stands for that we now stand for. That's very unusual for a union to have come on into this program and to take on as part of its work the rebuilding of the community itself in Racine. And we think it's absolutely necessary. And the principles are things like public schools are public institutions, something we've just been talking about.
Yes.
Our voices matter, and that means not just teachers, but the parents, the kids. Our voices matter. Strong public schools create strong communities. Tests should not be used as punishment. Tests should be used to improve instruction. We want to teach more and test less. Quality teaching should be delivered by committed and respected educators. Schools should be welcoming and respectful places, and our schools should be fully funded for success. So that's a set of principles that are now adopted nationally by hundreds and hundreds of organizations, community organizations, and teachers' unions on a local basis.
Okay.
And we're a part of that. So that's one of our big shifts to move into the community and feel deeply committed to the work of rebuilding our schools.
Okay.
We're also, one other very important piece of our new work is we are offering the training and professional development for our members that the school district should be doing, claims it is doing, but at best is doing very badly and insufficiently. And so we have a whole range of programs to help people grow professionally and personally.
Okay. Speaking of shifts, for the first time ever, in April of 2016, the Racine Unified School District Board, the entire board, is coming up for election. And this is the first time in Wisconsin's history that something like that has happened, where the school board itself, all members, will be up for re-election instead of it being kind of processed out. Good idea, bad idea? What do you think about that?
I think it's a great idea, although I think it was created for a bad reason, and that was revenge on the part of Speaker Voss to punish the school board of Racine for its decision to uphold the handbook process. And we have some pretty interesting information that tells us that that is the case. So in Racine, two things. In many districts, the school board is members of the school board are elected by sub-district, so like a ward, the way our city aldermen are elected in Racine.
Yes.
You know, they each come from a particular ward. In the larger urban centers, that's typical. Racine always was an at-large election, so that you ran in the whole district of Racine Unified School District. You ran among all voters who vote in the Racine Unified School District.
Okay.
And it was staggered terms, so that there are 9 members of the board, and there were only 3 running each year.
Yes.
And they would change. So the notion of all 9 running at once is crazy, and makes it more likely that folks with big money will have an opportunity to buy the election. That's just crazy. Staggering that process, but creating districts or wards, is a great idea because it makes the election more democratic. It makes the opportunity for communities to vote for their representative more democratic and more have more access to who they're going to be voting for. The union's going to be very deeply involved in those elections, and as are the community allies who we work with closely. And it provides us an opportunity to elect a community-based board that actually supports public education. Because right now, it doesn't look like that's what's happening.
Okay. Well, it seems like you have some harsh views towards Voss and Walker.
I certainly do.
So I am going to have to get someone from the other side to talk to me next month and have the other side of all of this. But I really do appreciate you coming in today and sharing your opinion. For our listeners, if they wanted to know more and learn more about what REA is doing and how they're making changes for the better, how can someone get in contact with you? Is there a website? Where can they find additional information?
Well, we are actually, our website, you know that phrase you see so often, our website is under construction. We do have a website right now, and it's REA-REAA.org, O-R-G. However, we are literally on the cusp of changing over to a new website, and it will have a new name. One of the reasons we're changing over, but why for the new name, is that we are merging with our sister union, the Educational Assistance Union.
Yes.
And we will, by merging, feel we will be stronger and more unified. And so we're looking at a name like Racine Educators United or something like that.
Okay.
And our new website will reflect that. But they can also call the union and ask to speak to me or our president, Jen Levy. The number is 262-632-6181.
Okay.
And sooner or later, there'll be a easily identifiable website with the proper name.
Okay. What are some things that you are hoping is accomplished with the school board and the union and the legislators, all of Wisconsin, because education is a Wisconsin issue. And like I said before, for there to be such a divide, it seems, for everybody to have the same passion for education, it just seems a little asinine.
It does.
What do you hope to see in the next 2 to 3 years for future goals for improvement?
Well, I think that hopefully once there is a school board that is refocused on the needs of the children and the needs of the workforce in the district, and those are not mutually exclusive at all, we will begin to see progress again. I fear that the superintendent will make that very difficult, so I hope that she decides to retire. We will see. She has suggested that she didn't want to spend many, many years here. She suggested apparently to the school board that she wanted 5 years, and she's going into her third year. But it is possible that within the next 6 months before the April elections, we will see the school board come back together in some ways. If they do, I think we will begin to see some serious conversations about ways to improve teaching and learning. The issues of they're actively attempting to rebuild the high school model into a career academy model, and the union thinks that has great potential. There are risks and issues with that. They could de-skill the workforce. Then we have to be careful not to let that happen. But it's possible that that will offer many great opportunities. We have some the beginnings of some community-based school kinds of programs, including the Strive Together program, which is a sort of bringing all services into a school and really working on multiple fronts. And the union is very supportive of that concept, and I think that many members of the board are. And we are looking to work on the whole concept of restorative justice and ways to engage in more culturally responsive teaching. So there are many hopeful projects ahead of us if we can get beyond the current crises.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Baden, again for joining us. And listeners, thank you for joining us today. This is Marlo Harmon, your host for today's Community Matters, the segment where we discuss important issues that are relevant to you and our community. Our discussion today focused on our public school education and how we as parents, residents, and individuals at large can come together so that we can make sure that the foundation for our children is met through an educational system that benefits us all. And as we know, a solid education is something that each of us need in order to grow our community at large. Please join us again next Saturday, same place, same time, same issues being discussed that are empowering to you and to our society at large. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this edition of Community Matters. Marlo Harmon will be returning September 12th with the other side of the story. Superintendent of Racine Unified School District, Dr. Lolly Hawes, will be here. That's September 12th on Community Matters.
You've been listening to Community Matters, a program that airs every Saturday morning at 11:15 on WGTD. For an online recording of today's show, log on to WGTD's website at WGTD.org, click Talk, and go to Community Matters. Your gateway to public radio is WGTD HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva.
From the WGTD Arts and Other Events calendar, St. Vincent de Paul of Racine is having their annual Friends of the Poor 5K Walk and Run on Saturday, September 26. Proceeds benefit programs that help serve the less fortunate in Racine County. For more, dial 262-633-7887.
Supporting WGTD is the Bristol Renaissance Fair, featuring an open-air marketplace, food, drink, and nonstop entertainment, all in the style and pageantry of 16th century England. Online at renfair.com. Open weekends through Labor Day. Support comes from Gateway Technical College. Are you creative? Got a flair for home decorating? Channel your skills into an exciting and diverse career with an associate's degree in interior design. Turn concepts into reality through hands-on learning, seminars, and internships. Information at gtc.edu/programs.
...24-7 jazz on WGTD HD2. Jazz, swing, blues, bop, and more, airing right now on HD2. For more information, go to WGTD.org or dial 564-3030.
I'm Gregory Berg, and there's no morning show on Monday because of Labor Day, but on Tuesday's morning show, I look forward to welcoming to the program Doug Instanis, Artistic Director of the Racine Theatre Guild. He'll join us to talk about the production which is opening this coming weekend, the very popular play Calendar Girls. Support for the morning show comes from Carthage College, combining an environment of reflection and self-discovery with a culture of high expectation. Information at carthage.edu.
Financial Lives of Wisconsin Public.